in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whenever you're listening. We don't do video around here. Whenever you're listening to Spouting Off, we do the old-fashioned, old-school talk radio. We don't always get a lot of calls, but you can always call in at 603-816-1590 and spout off about what is on your mind. Well, it's a red-letter day, or a horrifying day, code red. The floodgates of our southern border are being opened as of today, and they've been open for a long time and always are when Democrats are in control, which they increasingly are. My new favorite word is indefensible. There is no defense. You can cry racism all you want, but there is no defense for the policies of completely opening our border to unvetted people who either have illnesses, have committed crimes, are the people that other countries don't want. They can simply walk into this country. We have speculated mightily about the reasons that the deep state, both R's and D's, want unfettered immigration and illegal immigration. We've watched it and seen it for decades now, but it's indefensible. It is among the most important roles that government can play, and that is keeping its borders secure, its citizens safe, none of which the deep state gives a whit about. And as crime goes through the roof, as the radical left still hates police and doesn't like police unless they are persecuting and prosecuting conservatives for their ideology, they hate police when they're trying to stop criminal behavior. There is no defense for this. It is not an accident that they decided this administration, if you want to call it that, had been planning long ago to end the orchestrated emergency of COVID just in time to completely open the borders. They never do anything accidental. They plan it to a T. So that's part of what's going on. People that I know in and out of politics are unnerved and worried because they simply want to live in peace and security in their own country. But that is not to be, according to the betters who appointed themselves our betters. The truth is that they do not have our best interests at heart. And most criminals don't, when they tell you, you know, just do as I say and no one gets hurt. if you want to trust people who've been lying to you all along, then you're likely to feel betrayed at the end of the day. Let's talk about something that I was totally out of the loop about, believe it or not. I'm not surprised at all. There is so much news, so much that is being used to distract us. No one person can keep track or keep up on it. And I don't even try anymore. I try to look at what I think is critical and important to you. And then I hear from you via mail and other ways what you think is important. By the way, you can email me at either Twitter at KarenCataline.com or Karen at KarenCataline.com on all social media that I'm a part of, which is about three: Twitter, Truth Social, and I guess a few others. So I did my regular stint with the wonderful Vic Porcelli, who I like to call Vic Porcelli, out of St. Louis, Missouri. And we get together every Thursday morning to talk about the news. It's fun. It's unscripted, and it's always a lot of fun. I said that twice. So he brought to my attention, believe it or not, because I was not that up on stuff yesterday, last night, and I won't go into why. He let me know that Trump, I was reading it on Twitter, but I didn't go crazy over it. Trump did a town hall in New Hampshire, as a matter of fact, I believe, yes, on CNN. How about that? Because he is a declared presidential candidate. And oh my, has it been fun to look at and find what I think has been going on. First off, and most importantly, I have not, maybe it's out there, but I have not been able to find an actual video of the program itself. All I see is spin, 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 opinion, commentary. Nobody, the left, and I think they got their head handed to them. CNN got its heads handed to them. They don't want us to actually see the raw footage of the interview. Word is that the interview was cut short because Donald Trump was wiping the floor with the moderator. I've got her name here somewhere. Wholly forgettable. Incredibly hostile. I'd like to see her treat any of her other interviewees the way she treated Trump. She was belligerent and hostile, and it was obvious. And the spin is amazing. But YouTube, which is run and owned by the establishment media, does not want us to see for ourselves, because then maybe it won't be quite as credible when the MSNBC just goes crazy and says, oh, he's such a disgrace. He's a threat to democracy. Yeah, look at what he said. Look at what he actually said. That's what they don't want. And millions of people did tune in because CNN needed to help with their ratings. What he said is he wants to see people to stop dying in the Ukrainian war, and he'd stop the war. It's always the Democrats who rustle up hate and discontent against war, and they're always the ones that start wars and continue wars and escalate. Maybe not always, but oh my God, where are the anti-war protesters as we've escalated and escalated and escalated a war? Donald Trump said the most outrageous thing. He wants to stop the war, and the left is horrified by it. I want to tell you a couple of quick headlines of the New York Times that wants to tell us what the five takeaways of the Trump's unruly CNN town hall. Guess what? I ain't going to watch that. I ain't going to read it. No, I'm not. One can handle only so much propaganda. Here's USA Today. How to watch CNN's town hall with Donald Trump. This was before the fact. And should you? You know, we do need USA Today to tell us whether we ought to watch Donald Trump's CNN town hall meeting, right? We should be told whether we ought to even allow ourselves. This is why families aren't getting along, because the left has turned its true believers into such snowflakes that they are wholly incapable of hearing a dissenting point of view, because it upsets them so much. They're so offended. Oh my God. Not only that, but, you know, that's what cults do. That's what a lot of cults do. Well, don't allow yourself to see or hear anything we don't want you to hear. So that was part of it. I could not even find the interview, the full one without commentary. I couldn't even bring, although I did see clips from it. And it's too bad because I would watch the real thing. If you want to know what somebody really said, see what they said. Go to the source. Very good advice for anybody who wants better communication in their relationships. Go to the source, find out what the person really said, and grapple and argue with that. Don't grapple and argue with hearsay of what political opponents tell you he said and what you're supposed to think about it. I think most people know that by now, and they don't want you to see it for yourself. Why not put the whole tape and let people watch for themselves? Way too dangerous, right? Way too dangerous. Here's another observation. Compare and contrast a president who walks into the lion's den with people who have been out to get him for years, caught framing him for something he didn't do, refusing to retract their accusations so more people will believe false, fraudulent things about the former president. And watch, would they prop up the guy with dementia who's currently occupying the White House? Can you imagine? Just think about it. Biden going into the increasingly small lion's den because conservative voices are being blotted out and shut down. But can you imagine a great interviewer like, oh, I don't know, Tucker Carlson, who, God willing, they will not shut down, interviewing Joe Biden? First of all, he'd probably be a lot more polite than this woman was, who showed hostility. CNN would be crying foul. But secondly, Biden wouldn't even be able to follow the question. It's like Weekend at Bernie's with Biden, and everybody knows it. We continue to be presented with an alternate fantasy universe, and they think they can force us to believe it. Nuh-uh. You know, you've got someone who is supremely able to handle conflict on his feet. You may not like what Donald Trump says, but he says what's on his mind. And guess what? He still has one. He still has a mind. You know, dissent, discussion, and a fair contest seems to have gone out the window. But you know what? I don't think people are buying it. No, I don't. Well, we do have to take a break. We have a great couple of guests for you. You're listening to Spouting Off. And I'm Karen Cataline, having a blast here, exercising my First Amendment rights. I hope you do yours as well. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You joined because you were not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome back with that electronic music. Thank you very much, Art, for that. We appreciate it. Our very first guest here on Spouting Off is someone that I'm very fond of the project that he has been involved with for a long time. It's always fun to check in with him. And never a more important time than now, when the floodgates of illegal immigration have been opened. No one better to talk about it is Daniel Miller, writer and leader on the Texas Exit Movement called Texit. Why and How Texas Will Leave the Union. That is the book that he wrote, Texit. Welcome, Daniel Miller, to Spouting Off once again. Good to have you.
Hey, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it is great to have you too. We're going to talk about the illegal immigration and, like we say, the floodgates. And that's pretty amazing, since the floodgates we thought have been open again ever since the presidential potted plant planted himself in the Oval Office. But I'm going to start with probably one of the devil's advocate kinds of questions that you get and have been getting for the longest basis. So, and for our audience who've not heard, Texas can, and other states can, actually secede from the union. Them is fighting words to a lot of people, especially those who want to control resources and assets and humans. They don't want states to have freedom to associate without being forced into it. What do you say to people who say, no matter how necessary, it's never going to happen? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, the idea that something will never happen is the epitaph of every failed historian on the planet, right? Or political pundit. You know, this idea that it will never happen ignores the fact that it's actually happening and has been happening for a very long time. You know, you've got the global trend that's existed since World War II, where we jumped from 54 fully recognized sovereign countries around the world to, you know, well over right at 200 now. You have independence movements happening all around the world that are on a path to success. You know, we're, you know, here in Texas, when they say, well, that's around the world, that's not here. Well, look, I can tell you right now that outside of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, here in Texas, the TNM, our organization, is the single largest political advocacy organization in the state. Consistently, polling has shown that Texans, by a vast majority, would vote for Texit if it were on a ballot tomorrow. So You know, when people say that it won't ever happen, I say, prove it. You know, there's one easy way to find out. Let's put it on a ballot. Let's have the vote, and then we'll find out.
Yeah. Thank you for that answer. I'm always amazed when I hear people. I remember, you know, and I used to live in Colorado, and people in northern Colorado were feeling very much like people in Texas have been feeling, like their government hasn't just left them in representing them, but is forcing an agenda on them that they didn't vote for, they didn't approve, and there's hostility there from the government for their way of life.
Sure.
A lot of people think that people, I know what I was going to say. This is the thing. When people propose something so what seems radical, because they've always grown up with the 50 United States of America, they are somehow they have an emotional reaction to leaving the United States of America that goes beyond any kind of practicality. It's almost like, well, I just like the idea of being part of America, even if this is not the America that I recognize. This is not the country that many people can recognize at all. What's your thought?
Well, look, it's a confusion, right? And we have to understand that America and the United States of America are not the same thing. You know, at one time you could probably make the argument that that was the case, and you know, we understand that that there is a vast difference now. You know, America is that idea, that set of principles, that set of values that folks like you and I can agree on, right? Those are the shared values. But the United States of America is not the same thing. It is a political and economic institution embodied via the Constitution, allegedly administered by the federal government, which has grown outside the bounds of the Constitution and ultimately has become hostile to those things that we view as America, as those values and principles. And so, you know, I think the irony of the situation is that to preserve what we think of as America, we have to do so outside of that institution of the United States of America. And, you know, when people say, well, you know, how can you say that? How can you say that these things are contrary to one another? Go to the gas station, go to the grocery store, go look at the southern border. Look at how they're facilitating an invasion on the southern border. Look at how they're indoctrinating our children through funding in the public schools. I mean, you know, it's very clear that the United States of America as an institution has failed. It's not the people that have failed those principles. And so at the end of the day, states are going to have to make their decision. They're going to have to make a choice. Do we reach out and reclaim our right of self-government, or do we surrender to a federal system that does not understand its bounds, does not respect the boundaries or the agreement that the states made when they formed it, you know, just knuckle under to everything that they want? Here in Texas, Texans are choosing in increasingly large numbers to embrace the path that says, look, we're going to acknowledge the fundamental inalienable right of self-government embodied in Article 1, Section 2 of our Texas Constitution, which mirrors and mimics the principle that was laid out in the Declaration of Independence written by Thomas Jefferson. And we're going to chart our own path, and we're going to preserve those things that people think of as a constitutional republic and America right here in Texas. And we're going to encourage other states to take a long look at themselves and make that choice as well.
Yes, that was one of the things I was going to ask you. Have you found that with this ominous day of a complete opening of the floodgates of illegal immigration to open the country and to accompany illegal aliens who don't have a clue as to what America stands for and what it's supposed to be about, which is how they like it. Have you found that there are more people than ever in the state of Texas who are getting serious about your cause that maybe weren't before?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, you've always had this undercurrent of people that thought it would be a good idea, but didn't think it was possible. And in fact, for the first, you know, probably 10 plus years or 10 years of our organization's existence, you know, since 2005, the biggest battle that we had to fight was with the people themselves. And frankly, it was a battle over national self-confidence, you know, the thought that not only could we do it, we would be more prosperous to do so. And so in making that case, you know, we've gone out and made the case to the people of Texas, directly engaging the voters. But the federal government is doing everything it can as well to fuel this by exhibiting dysfunction or outright hostility toward Texas and the people here. And so, you know, at the end of the day, what we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know, the Survey USA poll last summer confirmed it. Which, by the way, since then, Survey USA has been rated one of the most accurate polling companies in the United States. So, you know, we're very confident about these numbers because they track with what we have found internally as well. But we know that if Texas goes on a ballot tomorrow, if we ask the people of Texas the question, should the state of Texas reassert its status as an independent nation? 60% of overall voters and 65% of likely voters will say yes. And so, you know, we're ready. We're poised. We want to put this question to the people of Texas so that we can open a debate about the fundamental issues of government and then let the people of Texas decide their future.
Mm. So two questions sort of piggybacking on each other. Why hasn't it gotten to the ballot? And the state of Texas has a rather weak Republican governor in Greg Abbott. He's better than most any Democrat, but he's not Ron DeSantis by any stretch. Has he gone public with any opinion about that? I mean, would his job go away if Texas became an independent state? And I bet he doesn't want that. He's getting a lot of money from the deep state.
Oh, well, you know, here's the bottom line. And I think the situation that we have here in Texas is really a true example of the battle that we're all really fighting, no matter what state that we're in. And, you know, obviously there's a thought that it's a right versus left, Republican versus Democrat. But I think it's here in Texas, particularly over the Texas issue, it's more clear than anywhere else and with any other issue, that the real battle is between the people and an entrenched political establishment, a permanent political class who really don't care about what the people think. There is a system, a regime in place. So, you know, you take any other issue outside of Texas, and if it were polling in, you know, at those same numbers, it would be the daily talk in the media. It would be the daily talk in the legislature. There would be no challenge in getting legislation filed that would give Texans a vote on the issue. So, you know, we've got a challenge here in Texas where we've got to, as the legislative session winds down and we start looking toward the next election cycle, if, you know, people here in Texas that want Texas, they want to be able to vote on this issue, are going to have to really focus on cleaning the state government. You know, what I've been telling people, because I'm on the road right now, speaking all over Texas on this issue, and what I've been telling people is the simple fact is that if your representatives don't represent you, then they cannot be allowed to represent you. And that battle will start culminating at the tail end of November when the filing window opens and you wind up with a slew of pro-Texas candidates challenging any incumbent who stood between them and a Texas vote in this session.
Wow. You know, with our last couple of minutes, we wanted to talk about the illegal immigration. Not only how would Texas would have secure borders if you had an independent state, but let's talk a little bit about, because I'm sure that's spurring on the discussion of Texas because of this subject of illegal immigration. Tell us your thoughts about that and what's happening
today.
Yeah,
look, it's very clear. The last 15 years of third-party independent polling have shown that the, you know, when you combine the issue of the border and immigration, it is the number one concern for Texas voters. And the challenge that we have here in Texas, and you alluded to it, you know, it's an invasion by any other name. And especially people are, you know, over the next 24 to 48 hours going to be very well aware. They're going to become aware, if they don't understand, of just how bad it has been, right? This is what's happening now is you know, over the next few days, happening right now, is nothing new. This is something that we've been enduring for a very long time. But, you know, the real solution here is that with Texas becoming a self-governing independent nation, we have the ability to secure our border, to set our own immigration policy, do all the things that, you know, 195, 196 other self-governing independent nations around the world have, right? And so Texas would be able to secure its border in the way that it wants to, set its immigration policy in a way that makes sense for Texas, and the federal government would not have a say in it. So, you know, when we look at the sort of weak-kneed actions of our politicians here in Texas, so much of it is because the federal presence looms so large in the discussion. You eliminate them from the discussion. You let the people of Texas do what sovereign nations by right have can do, which is secure their border in the way that makes sense to them and set an immigration policy that makes sense to them. And then Texas gets an immigration, a secure border, and a sane immigration system. As it stands right now, you know, there are steps that we could take. You know, we could declare an invasion. We could deploy forces. I mean, we could do some things. But at the end of the day, we know that the federal government will be the biggest stumbling block. And so if you want to remove that stumbling block, there is only one way to do it, and that is Texas independence. Yeah.
So we're talking to Daniel Miller. We're wrapping up this discussion here. And for people, it's clear people have voted with their feet from very, very leftist socialist states. And many people have moved to Florida, North Carolina, and Texas. So people all over the country are concerned because illegal aliens, nobody can house all of them. And now they're being flown to places, particularly conservative places. And that's, you know, that's treasonous. For people who want to get more information about their state or support you in your cause, tell everybody how they can find you and support you.
Sure. I would encourage anyone who has any questions about Texas in particular, but how it may apply to your particular state, to go visit our website at texitnow.org. And you'll see there we have answers to the most asked questions about this issue, and understand that whether you're in Texas or outside of Texas, those answers by and large apply to your state as well. And so, yeah, texitnow.org is the place where people need to go right now.
Daniel Miller, thank you for your persistence on this issue, and keep up the great work. People have to know they have options. Thank you. Take care.
Super. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have our weekly discussion with an Epoch Times reporter. Going to talk about Clarence Thomas when we get back. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
The Village Network was created for only one reason, to keep those 62 and older in their home as long as possible, ideally for the rest of their life. The Village Network is the answer for children who do not live nearby and worry about their parents being able to remain independently and safely at home. The Village Network has a network of trusted providers and volunteers who provide transportation, home repair, home-delivered meals, grocery shopping, and others who are there to help when you need them. We can even find someone to walk your dog. The Village Network does not charge thousands of dollars of upfront costs for services you may never need. With the Village Network, you only pay for services when you need them. Become a member of the Village Network today by calling 603-891-0008. That's 603-891-0008. The Village Network. Become a member today.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I love Thursdays. I love every day I get to sit in this chair and spout off with all of you. It's important to say what's on your mind uncensored and let the chips fall where they may. That's apart from, you know, ordinary diplomacy, but the bullying and intimidation of stopping people from expressing their thoughts and opinion is part and parcel of communist tactics. I defy anybody to tell me differently. When you see the kind of censorship and shutting people down and instituting censorship as a new elevated principle in the United States of America that has as its First Amendment free speech and the spirit of free speech and varying opinions. But I digress. Our next guest is one of a stable of wonderful reporters from the Epoch Times, whom we love to have on this program every Thursday afternoon. And this one we just had, and then he wrote an article that was so great, I had to have him back, and I requested to have him to discuss this article. His name is Matthew Vadim. You know his name. He's an award-winning investigative journalist and a recognized expert in left-wing activism. Welcome, Matthew, to the program once again. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, great to be here. Hope you're well.
I am. Are you? I hope you are, too.
I'm okay.
Good, good. Well, I think I just had you like 2 weeks ago, but we love having this revolving group of reporters from the Epoch Times. This article you hit out of the park, because the last time I had you on, I was absolutely appalled at the thin veneered attacks on conservative Supreme Court justices. Nobody has sustained, that I can think of in recent times, sustained more attacks, outrageous attacks, than the conservative senior justice Clarence Thomas. Your article in the Epoch Times, title, "Another Attempt to Manufacture a Scandal, : Friend of Clarence Thomas Hits Back at New Report Targeting the Justice." I'm going to just give you the floor. Talk about this subject from the perspective of this great article that you wrote.
Sure. Well, Texas real estate magnate Harlan Crow is the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his wife Ginny Thomas for decades, and he's generous. As some rich people are, he's very generous with his friend. Underwritten some reportedly lavish vacations that the Thomases have gone on, and he's come under fire for that because the left-wing Democrats claim that these vacations reported, these gifts should have been reported, but it's not at all clear that they should have been, and it's not a crime to have wealthy friends who give you things, but the left is trying to turn it into a crime, and they suggest that, in effect, they suggest that Justice Clarence Thomas is guilty of corruption just for accepting these vacations and not declaring them. And he said at the time, the last time the issue came up with him, he was advised that, you know, because Harlan Crow didn't have any business before the court, and he just likes to, you know, throw money around to help his friends without expecting a quid pro quo, without expecting anything in return, it didn't have to be reported. But Democrats, like Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, and Senate Finance Committee Chairman Senator Ron Wyden, an Oregon Democrat, disagree. And they're trying, you know, they want Thomas's head. And, you know, the Democrats have varying positions on this. Some want Thomas impeached and removed from the Supreme Court bench. Others want the Supreme Court to adopt a code of conduct. The Supreme Court enjoys a lot of independence under the U.S. Constitution because it was created by the framers of the Constitution. The Constitution created the Supreme Court, not Congress. Congress created the lower courts, the federal courts of appeal, the U.S. district courts, and so on. The courts that are, in legal parlance, inferior to the Supreme Court. And Supreme Court justices have said repeatedly that they abide by the rules that are required. And Thomas has said he's going to make an effort going forward to disclose these things, even though, you know, he was advised that he didn't have to.
Yeah, and this bothers me because if one takes seriously these, for the lack of a better term, trumped up charges in order to stick it to their political opponents, while their incredibly cracked glass house is crumbling. I don't think that he or any Republican ought to give them quarter when it's such a disingenuous charge. You don't see, they're not going after any Democrats, either in the Supreme Court or elsewhere. There is indeed a two-tier justice system. And in order to smear once again after his hearing, acceptance hearing, what, 30 years ago, they're once again attempting to smear Clarence Thomas for political purposes. Isn't that,
that does appear to be the case. That's right. Well, and the left doesn't seem concerned that various justices, liberal justices, like the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, signed a copy of some, I think it was a pro-abortion ruling, and gave it to a group that I'm not sure if I have all the details right. I think they auctioned it or wanted to auction it off to raise money for the group, and nobody seemed to object to that. Sonia, a current justice, a liberal senator, Sonia Sotomayor, got millions of dollars for a book or books that she wrote, and yet when her publisher had business before the court, she did not recuse herself. And I'm not saying she necessarily had to, but wasn't given as quid pro quo, right?
Why shouldn't they?
But she didn't do what they're expecting Clarence Thomas to do.
Well, he couldn't recuse himself.
The Democrats didn't care.
Because Harlan, whatever his name was, had no business before the Supreme Court. And yet in Sotomayor's case, they did have, and she was the recipient of gifts and refused to recuse herself, which is, I guess, proof positive that justice does not apply equally if you're a liberal or a conservative, and hasn't for a long time.
Doesn't.
No,
it doesn't. And also another liberal justice, Elena Kagan, was the dean of Harvard's law school. And yet when cases involving Harvard have come before the Supreme Court, she hasn't recused herself. Like, for example, in the cases about affirmative action, it's currently pending, the affirmative action in college admissions, she did not recuse herself, despite having been dean of Harvard Law School for many years. Whereas her colleague, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who's still very much involved with Harvard, thought that it was appropriate for her to recuse herself. So, I think I'm one of if I can pat myself on the back for a second, I think I'm one of the very few reporters who pointed out that Elena Kagan had failed to recuse herself in that situation where, people might suspect that something untoward was going on.
And there's nothing really.
And again, I'm not saying you always have to. The justices right. always have to recuse themselves every time somebody, they know comes before the court. But if that is to be the standard, and they're saying that is to be the standard, and Clarence Thomas has to live by it, then all the other justices should also be held to the same standard. Don't you think?
And there's no recourse when a justice like Kagan does not recuse herself, especially when the left and the Democrats are in control of the executive branch and the Justice Department, right? There's no recourse for that. They're Supreme Court justices, but they can manufacture evidence where there is none to get rid of their Republican justice. It's so patently obvious. I hate asking this question of you because you're such a factual reporter, but what do you do when you're basically being slapped in the face with, like we said, a two-tier justice system? There's no case there, but somehow conservatives are being hammered with the other side of the coin.
Well, the Republicans are often accused by conservatives of spinelessness. But when this was discussed at a recent hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Republicans to a person, came out fighting, and they defended Clarence Thomas and the independence of the judiciary, the independence of the Supreme Court, very vigorously, and said that this was, you know, in essence, a witch hunt, that they're trying to lynch Clarence Thomas just as they
all
tried to do
again
in 1991, when all these ridiculous allegations came out that he was, false allegations came out that he was harassing his then employee, his subordinate, Anita Hill, who's gone on to enjoy folk hero status on the left. You know, all that craziness about, you know, him sexually harassing her and saying that, you know, he had seen a pubic hair on a can of Coke. You know, remember all that stuff.
Well, and
it was,
and that was the precursor.
It didn't make any sense, especially that was because Anita Hill, if she was actually harassed by him, would not have followed him from job to job when he, you know, when he changed jobs. If you're a victim and somebody's, you know, hurting you, when someone, you know, your boss changes jobs, don't go with him. And yet Anita Hill did. So
this was the precursor to what was done in the Kavanaugh hearings, which was just over the top insane. And yet we saw it that many years ago. The other thing that really needs pointing out,
well, it
we
never
almost
ended.
Have
it's still going on now.
It is that cui bono, who benefits? This would be a history-changing thing if they could force out the conservative justice who changes the makeup and the who changes the court, which is what they've wanted to do all along, and they've talked about packing the court to accomplish the same thing. Your last comment, Matthew Vadim, we love having you on. You take the last comment.
Yeah, happy to come on. Have me back anytime you want.
We love it. Actually, I still have a minute. what do you have coming up over at the Epoch Times? What are you working on right now?
Well, I'm writing three articles today. One's already published, and it's Supreme Court came out with four rulings today, and three of them were kind of interesting. And one of it, the Supreme Court strangely, by a 5-4 decision, upheld a California law restricting an animal welfare law that says that unless you give hogs, pigs, certain, you know, so many square feet in their pens, that the meat's illegal and can't be sold in California.
Wow.
And
we got to go. We have to leave it there.
And the Supreme Court upheld.
Yeah, that's surprising.
That the decision, it split the conservatives down the middle.
Very, very surprising, but not. Matthew Vadim, thank you for having for coming on and talking about this. I love reading your stuff. That does it for this edition of Spouting Off. We'll have another one tomorrow. Stay tuned Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, when there's always a lot to spout off about here on Spouting Off.